Every now and then, we have real and creepy experiences that make us question reality itself. You were there when that creepy thing happened to you, weren't you? Or were you? These true creepy glitch in the matrix stories will leave you wondering as well. She was there, wasn't she? Merrylands, New South Wales, Australia, circa 1990. Amanda and her husband Joe had been married for a few years and had worked hard to save for a house. They planned on having children, but as of yet they had not expanded their family. Amanda had the day off work this particular day, and she got up to help her husband get ready for the morning. Joe went off to work, and Amanda decided that she would lie down and go back to bed to get some rest. Soon Amanda drifted back off to sleep. She was not asleep long when she was woken up by the sound of movement in the house. And at first she thought it was just her husband getting ready for work. She ignored the noises of movement that came from the main area of the house and stayed in bed. Then she remembered that he had already left for work. She stirred out of bed and quietly made her way out of her bedroom to see what the noise was. She peeked out of the doorway from her bedroom to look into the main area of the house, where the kitchen and dining areas were. She was shocked when she saw the figure of a young girl standing in the dining area. This figure, though, was a translucent white. It stood there looking at Amanda, and the two of them stared at each other in a creepy standoff. Amanda decided to try to walk up to the figure to figure out what it was. And Amanda was second-guessing her own eyes. As she approached the figure, it started to move away and giggle, like a young girl might when playing a game. It seemed to run away almost playfully. Amanda reached out to touch the figure as she followed, but wasn't able to make contact. Amanda started to chase the figure around the open area of the house, and soon enough, she had chased the figure towards the open pantry area. From here, the figure of the girl had nowhere else to run from Amanda. Amanda went to catch the figure with both of her hands, and as she brought her hands together around the figure of the girl let out a scream. It made Amanda jump, and suddenly she awoke in her bed again. She started to stir. What had just happened? Amanda was comforted by her husband Joe, who she saw sitting next to her on the bed. He calmly spoke to her, and she felt his hands as he reassuringly stroked her hair, telling her that everything was okay, and that she had just had a dream.
Shh, it's okay.
Having calmed down now, Amanda fell asleep. She awoke again a short time later in the bed. Her mind blown about what she had just experienced, she checked the home and confirmed that she was all alone. Two places at once. Wolverhampton, UK, circa 1998. Nancy retold this story and described it as the scariest experience she'd ever had. At the time this happened, she was a single mum of three girls. They were aged 6, 3, and 1 year old. Being a single parent is tough work. You have so many duties, so many responsibilities, and naturally, as a parent, you are highly protective of your children. Nancy described her nights as if she felt as if she always slept with one eye open. She wanted to make sure the girls were safe and looked after. Most nights, not long after going to bed, she'd fall asleep. Nancy also said that most nights she would be awoken to the sound of little footsteps. And most nights this was quite explainable, as her 3-year-old would climb out of her bed and cross the landing to get to Nancy's room. Then, usually Nancy would feel a tug at the covers as her 3-year-old climbed up into her bed. On this particular night, however, what woke Nancy wasn't a noise, but the sense that someone was watching her. Nancy started to stir, and sure enough as she woke up, she saw her 3-year-old daughter at the bedroom door. Her blonde hair was backlit from the landing light they normally would leave on. Nancy was still half asleep at this point and said something to her 3-year-old, but couldn't recall exactly what she said. The 3-year-old just stood there, looking at Nancy. Nancy remembers wondering why her daughter hadn't just made her way into the bed as she normally did. Her daughter just stood there in the doorway, staring. Nancy called her daughter over to her, but she didn't move. She started to think that maybe her daughter was just sleepwalking. That was until she looked next to her in her bed and realized her 3-year-old was already in bed next to her. She must have come to her mother's bed earlier that night without her realizing. In Nancy's own words, the dawning realization that the girl at the door wasn't her daughter filled her with a level of fear she didn't know was possible. She looked exactly like her daughter, and both were even wearing the same nightie she'd dressed her daughter in that evening. Nancy felt a panic wash over her and was so scared all she could do was put her head back down on the pillow so that she couldn't see the door anymore. She just froze as she lay there. Nancy lay there in the darkness like that for hours, too scared to move or hardly breathe. It was around dawn that she finally drifted off to sleep. And when she awoke, the girl was gone. The Man in the Suit. Cogra, New South Wales, Australia, circa 1998. Sally's family lived in their home for many years, and for many years they had a mysterious issue that would occur frequently. They would get something out of a cupboard in their home and then close it, only to find that when they returned a short time later to their room, that the cupboard door would now be open. On many occasions it happened, so much so that the family would deliberately leave the room for a few minutes and return, just to check if it was open again. Her father would blame angles of the floor and old hinges on the cupboards, and would simply shrug it all off. But it happened so often that the family became used to it. Then one day, when Sally was a young adult, she started to see something happening in the house that she hadn't seen while growing up there. She saw on many occasions a man in a 50s-style suit and top hat walk through the house. At first when she saw it, she thought she was losing her mind. And even if someone was standing right next to her, they couldn't see it, only Sally could. It became a frequent occurrence. The man in the suit and top hat would walk through the house from one end to the other. It was as if he materialized in one spot and walked smoothly, almost as if he were gliding through the house without making a sound. He was not discerning, though. He would make his appearance day or night and would do nothing but simply walk through the house, one end to the other. Sally couldn't recall whether the man noticed her or not, but it was as if he had a sense of purpose when he walked through the house. One day, she was walking down the street near her house with her friend Margie. She looked up ahead of her and saw the now familiar figure, in a suit and top hat, walking towards them on the footpath a short distance away. Growing anxious and a little creeped out, as she'd never seen him outside the house before, she kept walking with her friend. Her friend Margie seemed to notice Sally's change in behaviour and started to pull a face, but Sally kept talking as if everything was normal. A few seconds later, Sally looked up again at the male figure who was suddenly very close, but walking at the same pace. She thought that he couldn't have covered that much ground in a few seconds. Convinced that she was seeing things as he approached, she believed he would either pass her by or that she would walk right through it. When they joined, she actually collided with him and was hit hard as if she had just walked into a pole in the street. Ouch. She fell backwards and landed on the footpath after the impact. Her friend Margie was shocked and went to her aid saying, "What happened? Are you all right?" As Sally picked herself up from the floor, she said to her friend, "Did you see that guy?" And the friend replied with a confused expression, "What guy?" Unburning Fire, Bondi Beach, New South Wales, Australia, early 2005. It was nighttime and Drake was working as a bouncer at a local venue. He was working with his supervisor Brad and one other security guard. As usual, the night was busy and people were coming and going from the area. It was a nice clear night by the seaside, and there had been no trouble this night. One of the duties of the bouncers was to regularly check the street that ran alongside the venue, as there were residences across the road and on top of the hill. The idea was to ask patrons to move on so that, especially towards the end of the night, people weren't hanging around and making noise to further disrupt the neighbours. As it began to quieten down, Drake went for a little walk further up the street from the bar. He looked over the water to one side, and then up to the hill on the other side to his right. There was a steep hill in front of him, and scattered above the hill, a number of apartment buildings. He looked up there a little bit confused as he noticed that an orangey-yellow light was flickering off the high walls of some of the buildings on top of that hill. He described this effect as what would be the reflection of a campfire off surrounding walls. Drake thought it was weird, and there was a small park area on top of that hill, but nowhere to really light a fire. His eyes slowly made their way across the scene to try and locate the source of that strange light. He couldn't see anything at first, but the flickering yellow-orange light continued. He noticed the smell of smoke, but at first couldn't see anything. Drake could see grey smoke rising from somewhere on top of that hill. He moved further up the street to get more of a view on top of that hill and saw that an apartment building was on fire. He gasped as he saw a definite horizontal line of thick white and grey billowing smoke, and it was coming out of what looked like the top floor of the building of an apartment complex. It was a dark reddish brick-coloured apartment building, and although Drake had never really noticed it there before, he was certainly seeing it now. The smoke billowed and spread from the windows for a while, and there was a lot of it. The light he had seen flickering was obviously that of the flames. The flickering was gone, but the flames and smoke engulfed the top part of this apartment building. He stood there for a good 10 or 15 seconds absorbing what he was seeing, and thinking, why has nobody else seen this? Drake quickly radioed Brad, his supervisor, to call the fire brigade urgently, but his radio did not seem to be working. Drake then reached for his mobile phone to call the fire brigade himself, and his phone wasn't working. Although he'd never had issues with his phone or the radio at this range, nothing was working. With no other choice but to go back to the bar and tell his supervisor, he personally made his way back quickly. Then a thought came to his mind. He started to think that if he walked away from it, the fire wouldn't be there when he returned, and he'd look like a fool. Casting one last glance at the smoke pouring out from that apartment building, and making sure that his eyes were seeing the right thing, he ducked into the main entry of the bar and told his supervisor. His supervisor Brad came out immediately to substantiate his report and went outside with Drake and walked up the road. Just as Drake had thought, there was no fire there. Brad and Jake even climbed the hill with a torch to confirm that all was clear, and they checked the area. No smoke, no fire, no ashes, no sign of it whatsoever. Even the building Drake had stood there watching burn was no longer there. Thanks for joining me, and don't forget to listen in next time for more chilling true tales. If you'd like to subscribe, that would be fantastic, and you won't miss another episode. If you'd like to submit your own chilling true tale, so that your story might be featured in one of these episodes, contact me on seekersosparanormal@gmail.com. Email details are in the description. Thanks again for joining me, until next time.